This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you.
Don't miss Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale happening right now. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck? It's here.
With your hosts.
Love these guys.
Dan Wiederer.
The whole key to sustaining success in this league is to have quarterback play that is top tier and can consistently push you down those roads.
And Mark Grody.
We're allowed to, at this point, Bears fans are allowed to right now, dream big and predict what you want out of the season.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into the Take the North podcast. Along with Dan Weeder of The Athletic, I am Mark Grody of 670 The Score. Dan, it's been a long time since you and I have done a podcast together. It's good to see your smiling face right now.
Sure is. December 18th, Mark, was the last time that you and I sat down on this podcast together. In the meantime, we've had Adam Studzinski, we've had Kevin Fishbane, we've had Mark Potash filling in for one or both of us. It's been a bounce around couple of weeks here. And what's crazy is the last episode that you and I sat down together to do was the preview for the Bears-Packers game at Soldier Field a couple weeks ago. When you consider all of the things that have happened since our last episode, this very special reunion episode on Take the North has a lot of meat packed into it. And I know you like a lot of meat packed into these shows. We've got plenty of
what
reunion celebration.
What?
Sorry, bad phrasing.
No, it was good. Actually, that's perfect phrasing for this show. You know what I'm saying? Just don't lend that out to the players. That's all. Yes, and since then, like, Dan and I have not done the Take the North podcast, as Dan just indicated, since the Bears did it. They took the North. That's the name of the podcast. Dan Weeder was the one responsible for naming the podcast Take the North. And for people who don't know, that's because when Ryan Poles was hired as the general manager of the Chicago Bears, he came in and one of the first things he said, and it was strong, don't make no mistake about it, He said, we're going to take the North and never give it back. Since Ryan Poles has been here, the Bears have not sniffed the North, and it became a little bit of a running joke here on the podcast, which I appreciate. I don't know if you did, Dan, but it, like the all the little jokes made about taking the North and needing to change the name of the podcast. How you like us now?
It's crazy. I had a suggestion from my brother, who's been mentioned on this podcast a time or two before, that for 2026, we have to rename the podcast to Never Give It Back. And so the committee will take that under advisement, and we'll see what we come up with, because they have accomplished the first part of this, the taking of the North, and now the never giving it back part becomes another challenge. It's wild because we were there together on what was the date of that, December 20th, when the Bears played the Packers at Soldier Field. But because of the chaos of postgame and our respective responsibilities for our immediate jobs, you and I did not have a chance to really discuss what happened on that night. And what's really interesting to me about these last couple of weeks is that the Bears have had these accomplishments and these achievements, one, making the playoffs, two, taking the North, happen because of results of other games on days that they didn't play. And so it's added this really weird dynamic to this whole thing, where obviously they beat the Packers on Saturday night, but then they clinched the playoffs the next day because the Rams lose, right? It was the Lions lost, right? The Lions lost late in that game. And then
yes.
The night before they play in San Francisco, the Packers get drummed by the Baltimore Ravens, and Derrick Henry does the honors, right? Like, Derrick Henry is the guy that clinches the NFC North for the Chicago Bears. And so it's really weird because they haven't had this moment that's been really organic and natural for them to celebrate their achievement, because it's been based on what other teams have done to fully unlock that. I don't know how you feel about that, but it's felt like it's been a little bit disrupted in terms of being able to commemorate those things.
Yeah, which has not given us a really obvious moment up until now for us to do the segment we're doing right now. And that is in part to boast a little bit about the name of the podcast and the irony and all that has come with it, because there hasn't been that natural place where the Bears were able to do all the things they did. It's pretty incredible, because as the season went on and you realize that the Bears are going to be a playoff team, and you figure it won't necessarily be because of winning the division, then all of a sudden all these things open up. Okay, they win the North. Okay, you've got a home playoff game. Going into the San Francisco game, you have a chance to take the top seed, which is amazing in itself. So things happen fast in an NFL season. They change quickly in an NFL season. And no, nobody predicted that the Bears would be hosting a playoff game this season against whom we don't know. I think it would be fascinating, Dan, if the Bears just went ahead and beat Detroit and bring on the Packers one more time. I don't know how you feel about that, but because a lot of people are scared, and I get it. I understand that. You don't want to take a chance on losing to the Packers in the playoffs. You went through that back in 2011, and quite frankly, it was torturous the way that game went down in the NFC title game back in the day. But guess what, Dan? It's time. It's time. Yeah, yeah. Like, we're going to take the North. Let's really do this. So I am one of those people who is like, absolutely, bring on Green Bay and everything that comes with it. It would be a blast if the Bears played the Packers in the first round of the playoffs.
This season, under the guidance of Ben Johnson, has been driven by fearlessness, right? Like, let's just be honest about it. The reason the Bears are here where they are today is because they've been fearless about attacking what they are trying to accomplish with a sense of urgency and again, a sense of fearlessness that has brought them here. The Packers are also reeling, right? Like, since they beat the Bears at Lambeau Field in that game that came down to the final play, they have been on a skid. They lost Micah Parsons for the season. They've been losing games left and right. They don't feel like they've got the same mojo. And so from a matchup opponent standpoint, even though the Bears never led the Packers through 125 minutes of game action in the two games that they played them. They took the lead on the final play of overtime to win that game. And so I understand the fear factor, and it would be a crushing sort of finish to a memorable season if it ended at the hands of Green Bay, right? Like, it would just really kind of activate some of the torment and the scars that Bears fans have had for so long. But you would much rather play the Green Bay Packers than one of these teams from the NFC West. I mean, like, right? Like the loser of the Seahawks 49ers games or the Rams, those are really difficult opponents right now. And they've proven as much as anything that like you don't want to get in the ring and have to get into that tussle.
No.
And so Green Bay is the team that you want right now. It also gives Ben Johnson an opportunity to beat Matt LaFleur twice in a season, which he enjoys, which he's been told. And so, look, like it feels like that's what it's setting up to be. We know what kind of attention that game will get. We know the kind of spotlight it'll get from whatever TV team they send to do it. Man, we're heading in that direction quickly, and I think Bears fans should approach it with again, that sense of fearlessness that the head coach of the team will certainly approach it with.
It's amazing. I mean, it really is how fast things are happening. And you're right. The Seattle, we're talking about this on the score today, like Seattle, San Francisco, and the Rams. I mean, pick your like who's the best team? It's pretty tough to say. I mean, for a long time, it was the Rams. We just saw a San Francisco team, which is peaking now, even without George Kittle. You know what I mean? Like they do look like the best team. And that's not to take anything away from Seattle, which has been excellent as well. But if I got to pick between those three teams, and yes, recency bias plays a part. The Bears just played San Francisco, but even the week before, San Francisco has been undeniable in their last five games.
I said it in our preview pod that was hosted by Kevin Fishbane because we couldn't get our schedules aligned during the crazy holiday week, that the 49ers are low-key. Like I had never seen an 11-win team have that little buzz about them, right, going into Sunday night's game.
Great point.
Hadn't been under the spotlight the way a team that's playing that well should be under the spotlight. And then you watch that on primetime, and I think they got everybody's attention on like, oh, man. You know, and they're set up right now to go ahead and win their finale on Sunday and then not have to leave Santa Clara for the rest of the season. They could play the entirety of the NFC playoffs and the Super Bowl in their home stadium.
Oh man.
You know? And so like that little bit of a wrinkle for the 49ers tells you how ready made they are for this stage. Again, you mentioned no George Kittle on Sunday night, also lost Trent Williams early in that game. Didn't miss a beat and just continued to pour on the points and the yards and the first downs and everything else that came in that performance. And so they're a scary football team right now. And the Bears saw that firsthand. I think in some ways, you know, that game Sunday night, Grody, I feel like it was kind of a well-timed slap in the face for the Bears to understand what the rest of the way is going to be like for them. And these high stakes, challenging football games against opponents that aren't going to leave you much margin for error. That was certainly evident when you have a game where you put up 440 yards and 38 points and you walk out of the stadium as losers, you know, and that's a little bit hard to swallow. And I think it's going to give the Bears sort of a elevated sense of purpose now as they go into the finale this week against Detroit.
And it is frightening to look at the Bears defense just if we're talking about that game, giving up the 496 total yards, the 200 yards rushing. But I don't want to get too twisted because of what we're talking about. You and I are both sitting here telling the world how good San Francisco is, and it's because of their offense. So, in other words, while the Bears defense needs a lot of work, I am not basing the Bears' entire defensive prowess and immediate future on what we just saw against San Francisco. It's not a good sign. And you're going into the playoffs, and everybody that you're going to see is going to be varying degrees of very good offenses, but maybe not as good as what the 49ers are putting out there right now.
The Bears forced Thomas Morstead to punt in the first half on Sunday, and it was the 49ers' first punt since November. It was a stretch where they had gone 23 drives without punting, 101 points scored between punts, and it gives you all the evidence you need of how high powered they were. You could feel it in Ben Johnson's voice last week leading up to the game, how much respect he had for the production that the 49ers were putting up and the way that Kyle Shanahan calls a game. You can almost feel that mutual admiration between those two master play callers and being like, yeah, man, that's pretty impressive. Oh yeah, same to you. You know, and these two guys have a chance to put their fingerprints all over the NFC playoffs. We'll see which road each of them gets to take when we get past the finale this weekend. But man, it's crazy. And I mean, we had different vantage points for Sunday night. The entertainment value of that game, holy moly, was that really something? You know,
it really was.
It's a late night game, and you get out of the locker room and you write your story and you're in the car ride back to the hotel and you're trying to process all that you weren't able to touch on because so much happened in that game just on the scoring plays alone, right? Like, I mean, what do we have? 11 total touchdowns in the game and a field goal.
It was incredible. And I was trying to express this on the post game podcast where Adam Stasinski was filling in for you because we would have had to record at like 3 a.m. if we waited for Dan Weider. But what I was trying to express afterwards was that I'm not mad. Like I was very entertained. And yes, the defense was bad. There is no other way to put it. But while you're watching that game, I was like, this is the NFL. And the Bears are keeping up with a San Francisco 49ers high-powered team. The Bears have a quarterback that can keep up and go play for play. So when zeros hit the clock, and we'll talk about the final drive, and things could have been different. And I was, everybody was excited watching the final play, and the Bears could have won the game. I wasn't angry. I wasn't disappointed. I was like, Caleb Williams can keep up, which brings us to Caleb Williams before you interject one more time here, Danny boy.
Yeah, no, and let's definitely circle back on that final drive and your emotions contrasted with what I think might be the appropriate in the building emotion. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But obviously, Caleb Williams. Well, first of all, one last bouquet of flowers to throw at the 49ers, because Caleb Williams was awesome on Sunday night for most of that football game. And yet he was the second best quarterback on the field by a wide margin. Like Brock Purdy took that football game over. And you talk about if you had switched the stat lines and the performance and you had given Caleb everything that Brock Purdy did on Sunday night, can you imagine what the national conversation would have been if Caleb Williams accounted for 5 total touchdowns in that game, including that one where Brock Purdy looked every bit like Caleb Williams and Patrick Mahomes dancing around in the low red zone and then finally throwing that little touchdown pass to Kyle Juszczyk. It was a masterpiece by Brock Purdy. And so that's the last little sort of showering of praise that I'll throw at the 49ers.
So good, so good, so good.
New year, new gear. Thousands of fresh active styles are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. Save on top brands like Nike, Puma, and Free People, starting at just $35.
How did I not know Rack has Adidas?
There's always something new.
Plus, join the Nordy Club to shop new arrivals first, unlock exclusive discounts, and more. Great brands, great prices. That's why you Rack.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the 1, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, fast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at Sierra.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast, smart move. Being financially savvy, smart move. Another smart move, having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
But Caleb did so many things within that football game that were increased evidence of how much growth he's made in this calendar year of 2025 under Ben Johnson. And it leads us to this very interesting storyline for week 18. It's admittedly a little bit arbitrary and a little bit of a subplot, but guess what, Mark Grody? 4,000 yards is in sight. Mm-hmm. For a Chicago Bears quarterback going into the last game of the season, Caleb Williams is 270 yards away from reaching 4,000 yards. The Bears, of course, are the only franchise in the NFL to have never had a 4,000-yard passer. It seems like a shoe-in. I'm getting my numbers here. He needs 108 yards to reach Eric Kramer's single-season franchise passing record of 3,838 yards. And so you've got a fun little storyline here. I wrote about this for The Athletic on Tuesday morning, a fun little essay I was able to do on this, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this as we kind of rally back and forth and ping pong what the actual significance of this milestone is for Caleb Williams and the Bears.
I said this on the score today. I think it's important that Caleb Williams gets the 270 yards needed to get to 4,000. And normally I'm not that guy that's like, oh, this running back needs 40 yards to get to 1,000. Like, as a person who covers it or a fan back in the day, like, it's neat. It was nice to see DeAndre Swift go over 1,000 yards in that game against San Francisco. Usually I don't care that much, but I think because of what it has symbolized for all of these years with the Chicago Bears, that it's a running joke, and legitimately and understandably, the Chicago Bears have never had a 4,000. I mean, we do the exercise of going, like, it's fodder for the world to go through all of the damn quarterbacks that the Bears have had. If you want to play all the quarterbacks the Bears have had relative to the few quarterbacks that the Packers have had, I think it's really important that he gets this for the sake of the franchise, for the sake of Caleb Williams and the way he is viewed and respected nationally. Because you look at this, this quarterback did something that no other Bears quarterback has done. So I actually really think it's important that now you don't get silly. You don't do it at the expense of anything. You don't take chances. If Caleb Williams is limping throughout the course of the game and you're not feeling a meaning for it, get him the hell out of there. I don't care how many yards shy he is of it. But on the overall, I think it's important that he goes there. And even the Eric Kramer part for Caleb, for the organization, for the head coach to show progress. So I want to see that happen.
Yeah. And I think your intentions there are entirely right. Like, you just want to see this in the rear view. You don't want to ever have to talk about this again. And so that's why I think it's significant, because we can shovel the last little bit of dirt on this storyline that stayed alive for way, 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 way too long. And so I think there's significance in that, and being able to bury that as quickly as possible and to do it in a manner here. I don't think Ben Johnson is going to make this a priority, as you said, but I do think that if the game flow allows for them to consider it in the late stages of the game, they'll have an eye on it. And somebody up in the box will be like, hey, we're 62 away. You know, maybe we go, you know, like obviously the winning the game is first and foremost, and they're not going to put anything before that. But I think it'll be there. I'm going to give you a couple nuggets to tease you towards my story at The Athletic about this whole 4,000 yard milestone. When Eric Kramer set the Bears single season passing record in 1995, Brett Favre was that season's passing leader in the NFL. He had 4,413 yards that season. That was the third 4,000 yard season by a Packers quarterback of all time, way back in 1995. They now have 18 4,000 yard passing seasons, Mark Grody.
Get the hell out of here.
Okay, another nugget. The Houston Texans, the most recent addition to the NFL, who joined the NFL 82 years after the Chicago Bears, have had 6 4,000-yard passing seasons, 3 by Matt Schaub, 2 by Deshaun Watson, and oh, by the way, 2 years ago, C.J. Stroud joined the list. So after joining the NFL more than 8 decades after the Bears, they've managed to reach this feat 6 times. There's 71 quarterbacks that have gotten there, as we mentioned. It's a list that includes Josh Freeman, Elvis Gerbach, Jay Schrader, and Blake Bortles. Okay, so we're getting an indication of why this bar in Chicago has been so low. And it's important to have that as context, that this isn't some sort of, you know, achievement that we'll celebrate and throw a parade for, but it is a sign of progress, as you said just a few minutes ago. It does show that a quarterback and a head coach have linked up to get results. And listen, people are going to put the asterisk on this and say, Caleb got a 17th game. Eric Kramer didn't get a 17th game. All fine and good. The other part of this that I think is super, super notable is that Caleb Williams is about to become the first Bears starting quarterback since the late 1970s to start every football game in back-to-back seasons. And so there is a durability and a longevity element to this number that's noteworthy to me, because among Caleb's underrated traits, staying available and being able to start every damn game for this franchise is a big deal, and it gives you a chance to go places. And so I think that's another little kind of footnote on this storyline that's worth pointing out, because I do think it's part of Caleb's brilliance that maybe doesn't get enough attention. I think between the durability and the ability to reduce turnovers, the dude is doing some special things that aren't always reflected in the highlight reel.
Right. And the durability thing is, you're right, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that's just another part of the Bears' legacy is backup quarterback hell. I mean, because the starters have been so inept in so many years, we're way too familiar with, whether because of injuries or because of poor quarterbacking, we're way too familiar with Bears quarterback depth charts. I know way too many quarterbacks that I can name for the Chicago Bears. So it's important for that. And then again, just based on some of the nuggets you're giving, and like, because it's so ridiculous, this would, and I think that some of this stuff goes a long way in terms of confidence and just the well-being of an organization. It shuts the door on that little bit of ridiculousness. It shuts the door on that little bit of embarrassment. I like to use a Cubs analogy, and this is a little bit like the Bears still need to win a Super Bowl to put away some of their past ridiculousness. But when the Cubs won the Super Bowl in 2016, we could stop obsessing over what happened in 1984, what happened in 2003, what happened in 2007 and 2008. And it becomes a neat little story that you can share with your friends. You know that before Caleb Williams, the Bears never had a fourth. Then it becomes a fun little factoid as opposed to, can you believe this shit? The Bears have never had a quarterback. And it's way towards the top of the priority list and way higher than it should be. That's why I want to see it happen.
It removes a burden. I think you're right there, that it lifts a weight from this franchise that you don't need to have around anymore. And so I do think that's why it has some significance this week. I'm going to give you one little more trivia question so that you can play along in this little
Jeff
game
Graham here. And Curtis Conway.
Close. Oh. 1995 was the year that Eric Kramer set the single season passing record, topped Billy Wade's 1962 record that season. How many starting quarterbacks in all have the Bears had since the 1995 season?
Oh my God. Since the 1995 starting quarterbacks, I'm going to say different. I'm going to say 20.
Way higher. The number is 37 starting quarterbacks.
And
they have had 16 of those have been guys that have started in week one. The week one starter number is more significant, obviously, because it's just, this is our guy, right? That's who you identify for this year. This is our guy. And sometimes that guy gets hurt and you wind up going down roads you never thought you'd go down. And that's why the list of guys who have made fill-in starts for the Bears is so wild to look at. It's just another indication of how many people have tried their hand at this and never come anywhere close to reaching some of these feats. Caleb Williams right now has 2 of the 6 highest single season passing totals in Bears history. That's notable as he continues to build his career, continues to show progress. And again, like I think we're going to have more time in the weeks ahead, and particularly if the season's over, to examine Caleb's immediate past and his immediate future. But I do think that it is undeniable that the amount of growth and progress and improvement that he has shown within this season is extraordinary. And it's a tribute to his work. It's a tribute to what Ben has been able to squeeze out of him. And you hope that the trajectory continues on the same arc. That's not promised, but undeniably, this growth has been marked since what we saw really in the first few weeks of training camp when we were going, oh boy, where is this headed?
Yeah, and I think you and I have done a pretty good job at just being in the moment of what's going on with Caleb and not trying to project too much. I know I can't say that I'm 100% good at that. Like sometimes there will be, you know, heavy duty takes that come Caleb's way for sure. But, you know, I was looking at it today and I would say since the Pittsburgh game in week 12, you start to see significant change in the way Caleb is processing the field. He had 3 touchdown passes in the Steelers game. Then I go to the Eagles game where he didn't have to do a whole lot, obviously, because of how good the running game was. But he did make that 28-yard pass to Cole Kmet, which was right on time. Week 15, then, just going up a couple more weeks, the Browns game where he makes the 22-yard unbelievable, ill-advised pass to DJ Moore, the Packers game, the 46-yarder to DJ Moore, and then what he just did against the San Francisco 49ers might have been, like, I haven't really thought about it. I'd have to go back and look at all the games. Might have been his best game this year, probably 330 yards, 2 TDs.
First 300-yarder of the season, yeah.
I mean, yeah. So, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to say that. So it's fun, sometimes frustrating, to be in the midst of a developing quarterback and the situation remains fluid.
You and I talked on Monday on 670 The Score about the mood that I felt in the locker room in Santa Clara on Sunday night, and it was edgy and it was agitated, and there was a sense of real anger in that locker room, which was really notable to me because the Bears put up 440 yards of offense. They scored 38 points. They did things that if you had told you and I any of these things a year ago at this time, we would have been like, that is going to be the happiest locker room you've ever been in. Even if they fall short by 2 yards to one of the top teams in the conference, they're going to feel really good about it. They didn't feel good about it because they know they were 2 yards away from unlocking an even more significant achievement. And that to me is such a sign of how much the standard has been raised and how ambitious this team has become and how capable they are of understanding that even great can get better, you know, and good can get better and better can get best, right?
Oh, like no.
As we've learned this year. But like, it was stunning. Like I, you know, I'd have to go back through the 400 plus yard offensive performances that I've covered over the years. And I bet I'd be hard pressed to find another one that carried that level of anger afterwards, you know, win or loss.
That's great.
You usually feel pretty good about it, but Ben was angry and short and edgy, and Caleb was angry and short. And, you know, there was just an edge amongst all those guys in realizing that, man, like, This is a new level that we've reached, and on that new level, there are new demands, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, like, here we are, you know. We this is what we asked for, and now we've got to go respond to what we asked for.
And they're not looking at this as gravy. They're not looking at it as, wow, we never expected this. And I do understand, like, I've been adamant in saying it. You can't look at it as gravy. You have to take advantage of what is in front of you right now. And I do understand why lots of fans look at it that way. They look at it as, wow, it's like, I think my aunt was saying this the other day. I was like, I don't care. I can't believe the Bears are in the play. I don't care about number one seed. I don't care about home field. And a lot of people are saying that. I understand it. But guess what? The team that you are into, you should know that based on what Dan just told us, and I was not in San Francisco. That's great insight on the San Francisco, on the locker room there. They ain't looking at it like that. They're looking at it as they're good and they should win and they should be expected to win games.
Yeah. So maybe this is a natural segue into the final drive, because that reaction, I think, is natural for Bears fans to look at and be like, man, we just hung in a high level football game with that team on their home field. And then this season, which has been so extraordinary and exhilarating in so many ways, you can kind of lay your head on the pillow late Sunday night and go, that was a lot of fun, and I don't feel downtrodden by the loss. By the same token, I think that there is a sense of loss that they lost out on the opportunity to go chase the one seed. And the one seed is significant. And you go ask the 2018 Bears about what one more regular season win would have bought them. It would have bought them a pass to jump over the wild card round, which would have eliminated the opportunity for the double doink against the Philadelphia Eagles at Soldier Field. And now all of a sudden you just skip that phase of the program, right? Because you were so good in the regular season, you don't even have to play that game and you don't have to experience that heartbreak in that round. And so I think there is going to be internally a little bit of a feeling of, you know, choose your curse word here, that win got away from them at the 2 yard line there with the way they drove down, yeah, with the way that everyone that watched that football game felt like offense that has the ball last is going to win this game. And then the Bears have it inside of the 2 minute warning, driving down the field, getting all the way down inside the red zone and having an opportunity to knock on the door of a win that could have changed not only the regular season, but their road in the postseason. And then it just doesn't connect on the last play.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
There's a reason Chevy trucks are known for their dependability, because they show up no matter the weather, push forward no matter the terrain, and deliver. That's why Chevrolet has earned more dependability awards for trucks than any other brand in 2025, according to J.D. Power. Because in every Chevy truck, like every Chevy driver, dependability comes standard. Visit Chevy.com to learn more. Chevrolet received the highest total number of awards among all the trucks in the J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study. Awards based on 2022 models. Newer models may be shown. Visit jdpower.com/awards for more details. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Right now, get up to 20% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy-duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking, and the clear base and sides make items easy to find, even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 20% off at the Home Depot to organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic. Visit HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
Why? So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
I'm bothered by that is because the Bears didn't get to run their best play. they were discombobulated from the time that they clocked the football after the hook and ladder to the time that Caleb Williams' last throw skipped 2 yards short of Jahdae Walker in the end zone. And you're left to ask yourself, what would have happened if they had gotten to run the one play that they really wanted to run from the 2 yard line with, you know, 4 seconds remaining on the clock. And that's where I think there's going to be some dread, right? Like, and I'm sure it's already been felt by the coaching staff and some of the players as they get ready for week 18 and oh man, like we're this close, right? Like this close to going further. And as good as it feels to have been in that game all the way to the end, it would have felt 50 times better to win that game with a play that we knew would work.
Can you imagine, too, if Jahdae Walker catches that ball and the legend of not just Caleb Williams, but Jahdae Walker, God.
Well, and so he's one of the guys that I saw in the locker room and went to talk to, and he was sitting by himself. Most of the locker room had cleared out, and he was still kind of beating himself up for not coming back to the football more. This is a guy who's running a backside fade when that play begins and has to come all the way back across the field during a scramble drill. And yet the way this Bears team is wired, his first instinct was to look inward and go, could I have come back outside the goal line, caught that ball, and then tried to extend it, you know, and he's beating himself up. There's 25 things that went wrong before the football ever came close to Jahdae Walker. And that's why I thought it'd be interesting for a couple minutes for you and I to talk about just that final play. And really it's the final three plays, because you go back to the hook and ladder in this closing sequence where the Bears have the opportunity here and they don't get it done. It's very rare this year that we've said that they don't get it done in the final stages. And you're left to kind of examine it with a little bit more of a critical eye on wondering why. And so I guess let's start with the hook and ladder, because I know we talked a little bit about it on Monday, but what was your thoughts about that sequence?
In real time, honestly, watching it, it stressed me out that he went with that play call on that yard line in that scenario. I would have preferred, I like the play. And we know that he used that in Detroit. It's cool to see a hook and ladder. Who doesn't love seeing something like that? Not I would have liked to have seen that earlier in the game. So I guess I'm saying I did not like the play call, and it could have been completely different. We could have been celebrating the hook and ladder and going crazy about the hook and ladder, because I think they expected that the play was going to work. But honestly, I'm not backing off of it. I did not like the play call.
So I was good with it, and they just didn't get the marriage of what San Francisco was doing on defense with the play that they called. They were hoping that corner to their right was going to attach to Colston Loveland on the hook route. And if he does, you watch this thing back 100 times, you see that I don't know how to pronounce his first name, Diamador Lenore. If he goes with Colston Loveland to the numbers on the hook route, DeAndre Swift's got a walk in touchdown with Cole Kmet in front of him to clear out the safety. If that happens, this becomes one of the top six plays in Bears history, right? Like it does become this magical creative burst at the end of a fireworks show that gives the Bears a huge win. And you're like, man, it's right there if they get there. Now, because the corner is in zone and sinks down and is able to make a tackle, now you're left to rush. It's first down and you've got to get the ball clocked. And you know, you use time and you use a play to clock the ball. And now you're left with just one shot at the end zone from the 2 yard line. And so, you know, there is a debate to be had about that. I'm all for it. And I'm in favor of what they did. It just didn't work. But now comes the sequence that I just really want to get my brains wrapped around, because you need to know that this might be a possibility, that you might have to call one more play from the 2. You're out of timeouts. You used all three on that drive, including one with the clock stopped to set up your fourth down conversion earlier in the possession. And Ben Johnson took ownership for it after the game and said he didn't get the call into Caleb Williams on time. But what happens from there is just pure chaos. They don't get lined up properly. Caleb's late getting the snap off. The 49ers, Grody, rushed two guys. They have two guys and a spy, and somehow with a two-man rush, one guy comes free untouched, right? Like, and so now immediately Caleb Williams has no choice but to spin out, retreat 14 yards. He's all the way back at the 16. He's going towards the sideline, and the play is screwed from Jump Street. And so you're wondering what happened in the process, right? Like, this is a team that's been process driven. The coaching staff has been process driven. What happened in that process that caused all of that pre-snap confusion there? what were the Bears going to do if everything had run smoothly? What was the play there? Is it something that becomes an easy touchdown because it's like we've repped this 300 times in practice over the last several weeks because we know this is our game on the line, must score play from
Gotta
the two.
Have it.
You know, yeah. It's a 2-point conversion essentially, right? You've got a play there, so you know they've got a package of those, and we don't know what that was. We have no idea what that original play was. We still haven't been able to get answers for that. And when you consider the stakes of that, of going from 11 wins to 12, of potentially being in line for the one seed, of potentially having the chance to jump over the wild card round of the playoffs, you stop and go, holy crap, that whole sequence from the time that they clocked the football to the time that ball skipped in front of Jahdae Walker, it deserves a thorough investigation by the people inside Halas Hall to figure out what happens if we're in the playoffs and this situation comes up again.
Well, is it as simple as what Ben Johnson admitted to? And maybe you don't believe him. Maybe he was being disingenuous when he said that it was his fault that he didn't get the play in on time. And he's been pretty good at pointing the thumb at himself. So sure. You buy that? I mean, you agree?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. And my question is, why not? Why not? And my follow-up question is, had you gotten the play in on time, what was the play? You know, like, what are we looking to do there? They may not give that up because proprietary-wise, you know, you want to give away a tell to something you might want to try to use again later. But the fact that the final play, game-deciding play in a game like that was just absolute chaos from the time the football left Drew Dahlman's hands is a problem, right? And and so like our initial reaction, and I think you expressed it earlier, is you just were like, oh well, you know, like, oh well, that was fun, oh well. But from their vantage point inside the building, it's got to be like, no, like we may have just cost ourselves a easier run at the ultimate goal, which is going back to Santa Clara for the Super Bowl in February. And so That's the league, right? Like that's the tightrope in the league. And so I just thought it was an interesting conversation to have because again, like the double doink, if you remember that, right? Cody Parkey made that kick 6 seconds earlier when the Eagles called timeout, right? And so the line between, you know, being still alive to win the Super Bowl and having the heartbreak that an entire city will never forget is this thin. And so you just, at this stage that the Bears have reached, you can't overlook anything. And everything is on the table in terms of the questions we ask and the scrutiny we put on it.
Yep, absolutely. That is what we do. And I think that of all the coaches that I've covered, and I'm sure you as well, Ben Johnson is the one who's most willing to play that game and give clarity. Now, we're not going to get clarity on something that never happened. He's not going to play the what would have happened game.
Right.
So we're at a little bit of a loss. But you're right, man. It's a great discussion for sure. Dan, this is like all when you take it all in this year, the year of 2025. Oh, yeah. This was, Dan, the Bears started this season at 0-2, featuring a 52-21 loss to the Detroit Lions, in which Jared Goff threw 5 touchdown passes. And now here we are with the Bears 11-5, and we're talking about seeding, we're talking about a home playoff game. What a great year this has been. If we're doing the whole end of the year thing and reflecting, what have ye to say? What as a man who has been covering this team as long as you have, and a man who loves him some juice, this must be a great year for you, Dan Wiederer, and I would say subsequently the Wiederer family.
Well, so there's a couple things here. Kevin Fishbane and I are doing a performance review on Ryan Poles in The Athletic this week because 2025 was a real bounce back year for Ryan Poles, who started the year with a team on a 10-game losing streak. You remember that 6-3 loss to the Seahawks in primetime just a little bit more than a year ago. That was the Bears' last game of 2024. It was miserable, right?
So
the year started in disarray, and to reflect on how much of this 180-degree turnaround there's been, it's remarkable. And along with that, I think you said today on 670 The Score that the hiring of Ben Johnson was the moment, right? Like that's the moment that unlocked all these other moments that the Bears have experienced during the regular season. They've won 12 games dating back to the finale of last season that happened in the calendar year of 2025. They beat Green Bay twice in 2025. One last season, one this season. They might have to play them again here in a couple weeks. They have enjoyed such an incredible year on every front that it's hard not to reflect and feel really good about it. I did say, as you know, I had a job change in August and I moved from the Chicago Tribune to the Athletic. Part of me wants to know on whether my uptick in juice and energy and enthusiasm is related to the job change or the Bears being good. We'll never know because they both happened in the same year. But I can tell you that I'm walking into 2026 with far more gas in the tank than I've ever had going in to New Year's Eve, right? Like, and there's a reason for it. And part of it is because of how memorable this season has been. And really, again, like the whole calendar year, you look back on everything the Bears did to put themselves in this position, dating back to the hiring of Ben Johnson last January. And you go, man, what an incredible turnaround. Now, as we all know, sustaining it is a different story. But everyone, you know, we talked about 2018 on this podcast for a long time, Grody. Hot Tub Time Machine had a speed dial button for 2018, right? The Cold Tub Time Machine, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
2025 is going to add its place to that list because this is going to be a year that we continually reflect back on because of all the magic that's happened within it.
Speaking of 2018, did you hear about a read? Is it a Dan Pompey article?
Oh yeah, I did read it today.
Out. Oh yeah, I haven't read it yet. Like I'm gonna read it when I get out of here today. But was it good?
Dan Pompey's wonderful, yeah. Right? He's wonderful at getting people to open up. He's wonderful at getting people to reflect. And who knows what's next for Matt Nagy and his coaching journey? But to kind of hear him, you know, from his mouth, talk about some of the things that he learned from 2019, 2020, and 21. You know, that he hopes can help him if he gets another opportunity to be a head coach of a football team somewhere. Good job by Dan of doing the reporting, laying it out in the pros that he always produces in you know, graceful and fun fashion. It is a worthwhile read. And so I think tonight when you get a chance to sit back on your couch, you're going to enjoy giving that a read.
100% going to do that. All right. I think that's about it. What date is today? We're recording this podcast.
We're recording on December 30th, one day ahead of New Year's Eve.
Okay. All right. Any big plans in the Weider household for New Year's Eve, staying home, ordering some food? What's going to happen? What's going to go down at the Weider household?
I think it sucks to be an NFL reporter around the holidays. I really do because we have to be at House Hall on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And so it like really puts a damper on how grand you can get with your ambition for your plans. Right now it's pretty low key for us.
Okay.
And then, you know, again, going back to House Hall on New Year's Day, that's going to be a full Thursday. It's just like a regular day. I don't know if you were privy to this last week where we had our Friday with Ben Johnson and Pat Finley asked him, hey, did you get anything good for Christmas? And Ben just looked with a smile and said, when was Christmas? That's life in the NFL, right? Like it's just a blur. And so you don't always get to immerse yourself in these holidays the way the real world does.
Didn't Matt LaFleur say something like that?
He was pissed about Halloween. Yeah, I don't know.
Halloween.
I could give two craps about Halloween. Yeah.
Sounds like the villain on Scooby-Doo. If it wasn't for you darn kids, I don't care about that. Get the hell out of here.
What do you got lined up for?
Yeah, December pretty low key myself. I've got a dinner in Elmhurst with some friends, but it's an early dinner. Yeah, I don't think we're going to be staying out till midnight. I'll come home probably and I'll watch. I don't go to bed before. I still like to watch all the stuff that goes down, but it's going to be low key. Get a good steak in me, hopefully.
You've always struck me as a big Janet Davies guy on New Year's Eve. So
I love a good kiss with Marchi and Greco. Absolutely.
That's always a fun part of the night. But yeah, it's good. This is great. And we're walking into 2026, Grody, with a playoff game at Soldier Field.
I know.
It's on the itinerary. The North has been taken.
It's so funny that you said that the way you just said it, because I have those moments too. I have some moments when I was talking about Ben Johnson on the score today. I was like, for the new year, best thing that happened. And I'm like, they got Ben Johnson. Like it hit me again. They got the guy that everybody wants. There are teams that would have ditched their head coach to bring in Ben Johnson. And Bears got that guy with no complications. And it's working. That's the other part. It's working.
Man, is it working. And it is working at a level that we didn't expect it to. I'll save this for later when we get later in the playoffs and we do our preseason predictions revisited episode. But I went back and listened to parts of that when I was in San Francisco over the weekend. And we got a lot of things wrong. And we're going to call ourselves out for getting a lot of things wrong about this team.
No.
We weren't the only ones to get things wrong, but man, there's some fun listens on that podcast.
Oh God. Yeah. I heard you allude to that. Yeah. I was on a podcast on one of your hits or whatever. It all becomes one big, sort of blob between the two of us. Cause we're all on the radio and on there. there. But yeah, that just kind of blew me away to think about that as well.
Well, it's great to see your smiling face. I'm glad we were able to have this reunion before the year ended. We were able to commemorate the taking of the North. I think there's some big plans to have a special live episode of this coming up soon. We don't have all the details nailed down, but this has been fun to not only watch the Bears do this, but to watch this podcast grow with the audience the way it has. And I think you feel it. I think we've talked about it privately a handful of times, watching this thing kind of take off. Has been it's been a thrill, right? And then I'm happy we've had this opportunity to do it for a happier, more engaged audience in 2025.
I have a ton of gratitude for our listeners, our viewers, however you consume the product, because there has been so much bad along the way that it's gone. And I know people are here for the bad too. People, it can be interesting to talk about the bad things that happen as well. But we do appreciate all your support, and we appreciate you. We don't do this a whole lot, but we encourage you to subscribe, like it, comment on it, and to help us continue to build this podcast and make it even better than it is. Like you said, we are being allowed to do some special episodes and maybe have some special guests on here too. But I appreciate every day our audience. It's very gratifying, Dan, if I may.
We've taken the audience and we're never giving them back.
We don't want to give you back. We want you to stay here with us. We're in this together. We're all in this together here.
Sort of like a hostage situation.
Well, for the 2-10 game losing streak seasons, for sure as well. And shout out to David Haw, one of the founding fathers, that I would say, of the podcast. He was here on the ground floor. You and Haw built this thing for sure. And now I'm just lucky to be part of it when the Bears are actually winning.
And our producer, Adam Stanzinski, gives us a nice footnote. He deserves credit for a lot of this.
100%.
He gives us a nice footnote here. 1.3 million downloads and counting here as the year comes to an end. That's awesome stuff.
Yeah, that's really great. And Adam Stadzinski, thank you for what you do and keeping us organized and getting us on the air and all of that stuff that goes with being the executive producer of the Take the North podcast. Dan, anything else before we get out of here for this episode?
No, I'm just going to pre-warn you that our preview episode for Bears Lions has got, I've got a little bit of fun planned for later this week. So get ready for this, because it will touch on some of the things that we just reflected upon.
I can't wait to get into that and the revenge factor. Like, I know this is serious time, like no messing around. It's about the playoffs. It's about winning. It's about seeding. It's about all of that stuff. But don't think that head coach Ben Johnson ain't thinking about what happened in week two when the 52 burger was put up.
Don't think that the Detroit Lions aren't thinking about Ben Johnson either.
Oh, I'd be a little bit scared if I was them. And that's another reason why, bringing it full circle, why I think it's very possible that QB1 gets to 4,000 yards.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't put 52 up running the ball the whole time.
There are times to put your fingerprints on some things, and upcoming here on Sunday and beyond, there are times to put your fingerprints on some things.
Maybe a little offensive lineman trick play, something like that, a big man, I don't know, something's coming, but we will address that stuff in our next podcast. In the meantime, for Dan Wiederer of The Athletic, for our executive producer, Adam Stadzinski, I am Mark Grody saying thank you so much for listening and watching the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.